Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Talking about planted fruit in every season. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And I love the promise here. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Turn to your neighbor and just yell at him, I'm planted, and there's nothing you can do about it. You may be seated. Isn't that so easy to say? I'm planted, and there's nothing you can do about it. But it is so much harder to act that out in real life. See, because here in church, this is like the newlywed season for the church again. The doors are open and everybody's just have. Even when that baby was crying, I'm just like, man, I'm glad there's a baby in here today. I mean, we're just all excited. And so a lot of times we can fall in love and be romanced with the notion of church, and faith, and all of these things. But there is a devil out there that's seeking whom he may devour. And he doesn't want you to produce fruit. He doesn't want you to add anything, for God to add anything to your life or multiply anything that you're doing. And so the devil loves to uproot people and to get them out of position, out from under the open windows of heaven, out from under the will of God. And so he will do everything he can to get you to uproot yourself, to get you to leave the hand of God. The first session we talked about that we are first and foremost beyond a church house, and I love the church house, the local church. We are supposed to be planted in the hand of God. If anything the last 2 months has told us, church, and taught us, is that as much as we love the church building, that our faith goes beyond the campus of a church, that our love for Jesus goes beyond a Sunday morning worship experience or a Wednesday night Bible study. For those of us that really are in this for the long haul, we talk to God all day, every day. Sometimes the words just roll out of our mouth and it seems so eloquent, and we're like Solomon writing the Song of Solomon, or we're like David writing the Psalms, but sometimes the words aren't as eloquent and they're just groanings and mutterings. But we've got such a relationship with God that we have found that the house of God, although it is so important, it is not the place where we are firmly planted. If you are firmly planted in the hand of God, the house of God will never offend you. The house of God will never be the problem. The people in the house will never be the problem. Me and my brother, who is 4 years older than me, man, we had some fights. You remember when your older sibling, or you'd be fighting and it would go a little too far and they'd really hit you with something and you'd start crying, or they'd start crying, and then they became your best friend? No, be quiet. Mom's going to hear you. I remember one time Sean popped me. We were shooting rubber bands with old school. I mean, this was before the age we live in. They used to make these little wooden toy rifles that shot rubber bands. And I remember he shot me point blank. I'm talking about put the gun against my face and shot me. And the problem was, is that even if I hadn't started crying like a crazy person, which I did, is it left a mark. And then he was stuck, because he knew even when the tears dried, the mark was going to be there for a couple days. So Mom asked, what happened? We're like, what are you talking about? What am I talking about? Number one, I can tell you've been crying. Sean's being way too nice to you, and you got a big bump and bruise and blood mark on your cheek. And then we both got whippings. How did I get a whipping? I got shot in the face and a whipping, and that was a bad day. That's my mama for you. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. But when you are planted in the hand of God, offense can't take you out. You just chalk it up to that person had a bad day. And I always tell people, living way is so big, if they offend you over here, sit over here. If they offend you here, you can sit back there. We got three services a week. If something happens in the 9 a.m., just switch to the 11 a.m. for a while. Don't let anything uproot you. I've planted myself in God's hand. I've surrendered myself to God's will. When I surrender myself and when you surrender yourself to God's will, you are going to produce fruit in every season. We went to the scripture in John chapter 28 that tells us that we need to be planted in the things of God. But then we went and we saw in Matthew 21 when Jesus went to the fig tree, and when he found the fig tree, he was hungry. There was something that Jesus desired. And can I tell you that as much as God has of everything that he needs, there is one thing that he created us to do, and there's one thing that he requires from us, and that is relationship. Can I just remind the church and the church that is watching online today that isn't it special and isn't it exciting that the creator of the universe longs to have a real relationship with us? It is not a kingdom where the king has his peasants, but our king calls us sons and daughters. Isn't it amazing that when you wake up tomorrow morning, before your spouse says good morning, mercy is fresh and has been baked for you, because God says, man, when he wakes up, when she wakes up, I'm going to be able to deliver something to her, and she's going to talk back to me, and he's going to worship me, and then we're going to have Bible study, and they're going to get in my word, and I'm going to share some vision. Isn't it awesome that God wants to have that kind of relationship with us? So Jesus desired, saw a fig tree, and when he found nothing on the fig tree, verse 19, he saw the fig tree. He saw that it was leaves only, but there was no fruit. He cursed the fig tree. The fig tree withered up, verse 19 says. There's a lot of reasons why Jesus cursed the fig tree. Number one, it was out of order, because on fig trees in the Middle East, fruit grows first and then leaves. But just at the very onset when Jesus looks, he said, here is something that is planted. It has produced leaves, but there is something fruitful about them. And when he pulled back the leaves, there was no fruit. It was out of order. God chooses not to bless a mess. When you get planted in the right place and you get planted in the right season, you get planted around the right people, you are going to produce fruit. We love to say God can't bless a mess. Oh, God can do anything. God chooses not to bless a mess. So I encourage the church at large today, get your house in order. Get your mind in order. Get your heart in order. Get your marriage in order. Get your children in order so that God can bless. He cursed the fig tree, number two, because of the fake appearance. It's what we call hypocrisy. Their lips are, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, the bad news about this Sunday, all the restaurants are open, and so maybe while we were singing Something's About to Break, you were already thinking about Papa Do's. And so you might have been watching Sister Gina. Sister Gina was moving today. I felt like it was like Holy Ghost Zumba. She did one move where she jumped on one foot and spun around like four times. It was absolutely amazing. I would try it right now, but I've got one issue. I can't handle two. But there's a lot of us that come into church, and when we begin to worship, you know the devil's going to distract you while you worship. He's going to put people on your row that's sitting with you that are going to distract you. He's going to cause a text message to vibrate in your back pocket while you're worshiping. He's going to cause something to happen in front of you that's going to catch your gaze. And it doesn't just happen in church. You can start worshiping or start reading and studying at the house, and you start getting phone calls, and somebody comes in, and everybody's being real loud. But I want to encourage you, if your lips are honoring God, you better make sure that your heart is fully engaged, because your lips should not start moving until your heart is fully engaged with God and the planted have a fully engaged heart. Number three is where we left off last session, lack of faith, why he cursed it. Man, what a reason to curse it. We are supposed to produce fruit in every season of our lives. In verse 20 of this chapter in Matthew, it said, when the disciples saw it, they marveled. They said, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Meaning that when God cursed it, it immediately withered. There was a visible change to what was happening the moment God said it must die. You know what? I love that, because I'm not about the curses of God, because I'm a believer. Because you are planted, you don't have to worry about the curses of God. You can shout about the blessings of God. You can shout about the promises of God. And Sister Gloria, you know what fires me up about that particular text? That if God curses something and there is an immediate change, that when God blesses something, there is just as an immediate change, which means on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon around 12, when God says you're blessed, something physical can happen. Something spiritual can happen at such a rate that the people around you can say, not only did God say it, but look at her life. Look at his life. Look how much it has changed. Look how much it has been blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Somebody say, because I'm planted. Verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. Somebody say, faith. Somebody say, don't doubt. You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Come on, preach Jesus to me today. But also you can say this to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Let me say this to you, and if you're writing notes, this will be a good one to write down. Faith is always the right move. You tell me a problem, I'm going to tell you to faith it. I'm going to tell you to make faith an action verb in your life. Well, Pastor Brandon, I've got this going on in my life. Faith it. Well, I need more than words. Well, faith is not just supposed to be words or a belief. Faith is literally supposed to frame your world. So when you start speaking the word of God in faith, when you start declaring the promises of God, as a planted person, it's not just words that I'm saying, but I am shocked and appalled that as a person of faith, that when I speak the word of God, I'm supposed to see things changing. I'm supposed to see a metamorphosis from the caterpillar to the butterfly. I'm talking to somebody here and somebody there today that whatever you're going through, you are one faith move. You are one faith declaration. You are one act of obedience away from the greatest planting season, production season of your life. Somebody say, I'm moving in faith. Woo! If faith is always the right answer, doubt is never the answer. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, have faith. And don't doubt. Two distinctions. I love this. Wouldn't it be enough for Jesus to say, have faith. Boom. Exclamation point. Drop the mic. Walk out of the group. But he stays long enough to say this. Have faith and don't doubt. Who's he talking to? Believers. He's talking to people that should be planted but are not planted. He's talking to people that don't know why the fig tree was cursed when it had leaves, but it did not have fruit. When Jesus tells us that there's one thing you need to start, and it's faith. But before you can start faith, you've got to stop doubting. And the reason some of us don't produce fruit, even though we're planted, is because we are trying to be faithful and doubtful at the same time. Say, preach that, Pastor. This is what I mean. You come to an altar and you say, I believe, God, that you are going to heal me. I believe, God, that you are working in my marriage. I believe, God, that you're going to open doors of ministry. I believe, God, that you're going to give me promotion. I believe, God, that my family is going to be saved. And before you get to the first row of seats, you're in your mind, you say, but what if you don't? I believe God has healed me of cancer, and you got a Monday morning doctor's appointment. Before you get to your car, you say, what if the test doesn't show that he's healed me? You still got doubt, and you're trying to be faithful. God said you cannot start something, come on church, until you finish something. That's why there's some things that you need to finish. And I think we've been prophesying it all service long. Something is about to break. But that thing that is about to break is not going to break until you put a period at the end of the last season of your life and say, the season where I was unproductive is stopping today. The season where I doubted every promise of God is stopping today. The season where my wife and I fought all the time, I'm going to stop fighting and I'm going to start faithing. I'm going to stop being negative and I'm going to stop. Can I just help you real quick? Some of you voted for the president that's in there now. Some of you didn't. Some of you voted for the last president that we had. Some of you didn't. Can I tell you that you can claim Chronicles 7:14 all of your life? Heal our land, heal our land, heal our land. But when you get on Facebook and you complained about the last guy and you ran your mouth about this guy and you say derogatory things about her in the Senate and about him in the Senate and you say crazy things about anybody in leadership, what's happening? You're doubting and you're trying to have faith. And the Bible, my Bible at least, says that blessing and cursing cannot flow from the same place. And so God said, if you're going to curse it, I'm just going to shut it down. But for those people of faith, you've got to get faith in your end. If you can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all. That's what Mama told me. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything. But Pastor, I think, you think it. That's so much better than saying it. You know how I know that? Because there's a lot of marriages that are still together because you thought things that you didn't say. Don't leave me out here on my own. And so Jesus said, have faith only and do not doubt. Years ago, I was mentoring somebody that was on our pastoral team in the youth. And he got up one day, and it's bound to happen. It's happened to me. You have a microphone in your hand for so long, you're going to say things that are not true. You're going to say things that maybe you don't have a real theological platform or foundation to say. That's why anytime that I give you my opinion, I will literally tell you, this is what Brandon is saying. If you don't like it, leave it, because it's not life-changing. It's not the Word of God. But he got up one time in the middle of transition from praise to worship, and he said, there are some people with some doubts today. And he said, and it's okay to doubt. And when he said that, I literally went from this. What you talking about, Willis? Because we're trying to teach people to be people of faith. People to plant themselves in the Word of God, the house of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God, to plant and root yourself. And so when you tell them it's okay to doubt, what you are doing is you are giving them an excuse to live below where God has called them to be. And you are literally helping to loosen the soil so they can be uprooted when God has done their best to plant them. And let me tell you something. The biggest goal we have is to plant our teenagers so strong in God that they can go to the most liberal university in their theology and philosophies of life, and they are not shaken. They do not give out on Jesus. They do not give up on faith in the Word of God. Right after that service, come here, bro. Let's talk. Wasn't mad, wasn't mean. I just said, you said something today. And he said, what did I say? I said, it wasn't right what you said. And I want to help you so you don't say it again. You said it's okay to doubt. And he said, yeah, I did say that. I said, you don't see anything wrong with that. He said, I don't. I said, well, let me take you to Matthew chapter 21. Pointed this out. And I love this brother. I still know him. He's still serving. He's doing great. He said, I've never read that verse before. I'll never say that again. See, that's how we should be. See, when we're getting ready to be uprooted and somebody comes along, whether it's the Holy Ghost or a mentor or somebody on the pastoral team or somebody that you look to for leadership says, hey, that's not so, they should be able to point it in the Word of God and say, this is what the promise of God says. This is what the Word of God says. And in this case, this is what Jesus himself said while he was on this earth, that you cannot have faith and doubt at the same time. You've got to stop doing one to start the other. So listen, if I've got to stop doubting to start faith, then I've got to stop faithing to start doubt. Anytime that we doubt, we've quit operating in faith. Anytime we quit operating in faith, the soil around our planted life begins to loosen. Loose soil means that you can be uprooted quicker. Faith is always the right move. Doubt is never the answer. Jesus reveals this to his disciples, that we have the power to remove the unproductive things from our lives. We have the power. I love that you call the church for counsel, for godly advice. We'll get to that today or maybe next week. I love the fact that you have friends that can speak into your life and do, but let me just encourage you and tell you, as a believer, you have the same power that I have. You have the same power that Bishop Jakes has, that Pastor Furtick has, that Joyce Myers has. You have the same faith. You have the same Jesus. Let me rephrase that. You have the same access to the same faith that they have. They are just refusing to be doubtful and are always faithful. God gave us the power as believers to remove those things, and sometimes they are people, the mountains, the obstacles from our life. If the planted believer has the power to remove things from our lives, then the planted believer has the power to move the right things into our lives. I love that. I love the fact, and I've told the story, when Pastor Mandy and I, when we bought a new house about 8 or 9 years ago, we tried to move our old furniture. And our old furniture was old, and it was hand-me-down, and we were blessed to get it. And so we said, we're just going to move all this old furniture into a new house. But guess what? The new house didn't look quite as new when we got the old in there. See, there's a lot of us that we're not removing the old things, and God is doing a new thing, but because the old things are there, it doesn't seem quite as fresh. Can I encourage you to remove those obstacles? Remove the foxes that spoil the vine. You've got to use pesticide to keep all the critters from stealing your fruit. You've got to use all of those things to make sure that when you are planted and produce fruit, that it remains and produces more fruit. You've got the power to remove. You've got the power to move into place. Verse 22, and all things, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Look at it again. All things. I love the word all. Whatsoever, that means anything. Come on now. All things whatsoever you shall ask. If you can speak it, God said you can have it. You say, well, what if I ask something that's not in God's will? If you're really planted, you'll never ask something outside the will of God. That's one of the reasons why every time I pray a prayer and I give God, God, I need you to do this. God, I want you to do this. At the end of the prayer, I say, but God, let your will be done in my life. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You say, well, I've been asking God for a lot of things and I haven't gotten them. Two things. You are either out of the hand of God and you're not planted, and you're asking God something that's not in the will of God, or you are not a planted person, because the prayers of the planted always produce fruit. Let me say it again. The prayers of the planted always produce fruit. So before you pray the next time, go ahead and get your feet set and say, God, this time I'm not going to vacillate. This time when I pray, I'm not going to be talked out of the promise of God. This time when I pray, it doesn't matter what happens at my job on Monday. This time when I pray, it doesn't matter what Fox News says. This time when I pray, I'm standing planted on the promises of God. I will not doubt. I'll operate in faith. And boom, it's going to show up at my step. Psalm 1:1. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 1 of David's greatest life work tells us about a blessing that is not for everybody. You know what's really sad? There are true believers that will never go to hell, that will go to heaven, but they will struggle every day of their earthly existence. They'll struggle in their marriage. They'll struggle with their kids. They'll struggle with their job, with their money. And I'm not saying they're not saved. They're believers. But they're not planted. They love Jesus. They've accepted him. But they're on the outer periphery of his will. Some of us got saved and we crossed that line and we just quit moving. We're still just this saved. But David tells us, and David was a man of like passions. He was a man that made some horrible mistakes and God still used him. We call him the Prince of Praise. There's no greater praiser in all of the Word of God than David. And David said this to start off his book of 150 Psalms. He said, can I tell you that there is a blessing there's a blessing for those that will do their part to get planted and to stay planted. But you know what I love? He doesn't tell us the blessing. He tells us all the steps that we have to take to receive that blessing. See, a lot of times we do ourselves a disservice when we know the blessing that's in front of us because we try to take shortcuts to get to that blessing. David said, I'm not going to reveal the blessing to you unless you take the three necessary steps to get there. And those three necessary steps come down to three things. Who you walk with, who you stand with, and who you sit with. When we look at this, and we'll jump into this next week, but there's a special blessing that goes into effect. I believe that this blessing is different than a lot of the other blessings. I believe that it goes beyond just the covenant that every believer is promised. There's a special blessing that David gives us, the three steps that we need to be planted so that we can get this blessing. It's the way we walk, the way we stand, and the way we sit. I'll end with this. There's three stages of men, three stages of mankind, men and women, walking. When we walk, we're in transition. When we walk, we are moving towards destiny and towards purpose. I've got just a little bit of a problem with the way that David orders these because he orders to me the most important one first. And he gets lesser than for the next two. Walking means we are transitioning, moving towards destiny and purpose. It is the walk that gets us to possess because Abraham, every place the sole of his foot touched as he walked, he possessed. Then we stand. Stand means we stand in the face of adversity. Stand means that we're unmovable. Standing means I didn't make much progress physically today. But while I'm standing, I'm making a lot of progress spiritually. Come on, somebody. See, somebody is in the standing season of life right now. I'm going to tell you that your standing is about to give birth to your walking season, your possession season. And so the standing season is tough because we don't see a lot going on. But the reason you don't see a lot going on when you stand is because standing is not about the physical season. That's the walking season. Standing seasons are for God. I'm preparing myself mentally and spiritually so that when I walk, I don't fall. Come on, somebody. When I walk, I don't trip. When I walk at the speed and the gait, God, that you've called me to. Then he said, the way you sit, that's the way we rest, relaxed. There's no worries, no doubt. But understand this, while I'm sitting, while you're sitting, you're not just there playing Angry Birds on your phone. You're not Netflixing and Huluing. While you're sitting resting, you're thanking God for what he's done, and you're planning your next move. See, when the devil sees you sitting, he says, oh, I got him. He says they're not standing. They're not walking, they're sitting. But what he doesn't understand about us believers is anytime you see me sitting, I'm getting ready to stand. And if you see me standing, I'm getting ready to walk. But I'm resting for a moment, exhaling. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me this far. I'm going to get all of my strength ready because the next season of my life is going to be the greatest season of my life, but it will expect the greatest obedience, the greatest production of my life. Stand on your feet. I'm talking to those of you that are planted. Get planted further. Brother Robert was in the first service. I love Brother Robert. This is Diane Velasquez. Man, they bless me. Just encourage me. Every week, he sends me just an uplifting message, encouragement. God has blessed them unbelievably this past year, coming into this year, in so many different ways. And when he sends me this message, he ends it a lot of times with one phrase. Talks about his love for the church in every message he sends me, the love for the people of God, for his family here at Living Way. And he said, I'm going to be at Living Way forever. He always says that. I'll be here forever. What he's saying is I'm planted. You know what he doesn't know? What's between here and forever? I told that pretty blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl sitting on the front row, I said 17 years ago, I'll love you till death do us part. We didn't know all of the stuff that we're going to go through the next 17 years. We don't know the stuff we're going to go through the next 60 years. But what I do know is she's planted, I'm planted, and nobody's leaving. See, when you take that stance, the devil never wins. So more than saying that about Living Way Church, God, I'm planted in your hand. Well, what happens if so-and-so happens in 2022? I'm not worried about so-and-so. I'm just worried about my feet and where I'm planted, and God's going to take me. Well, what happens in 10 years? I'm not worried about what happens in 10 years. I'm just going to make sure the next 10 minutes I don't fall. 10 years will take care of itself if we take care of the next 10 minutes. Can I get you to where you need to be today? God has you in the palm of his hand. Never forget it. Don't jump out. Don't leave. It's time to get further planted. For believer, my God, these are some of the greatest people of Living Way that are coming to this altar already. They're Bermeas. Brother Armando, man, you bless me. Your family blesses me. Watching your grandchildren grow up to love Jesus, same with you. Bermeas, watch your family, watch your grandkids. It's an amazing thing. I'm preaching, and here comes some of the best. What are they saying? I want to get further planted. I want to get further planted. Here comes Stephanie with these three handsome boys saying, I'm planted. She's been through some tough spots, but she says, I'm planted. And now let's go get a little more planted. Why? Because I got a preteen boy I'm raising. Come on now. I got these three boys that need to be planted. This incredible family.